to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 111 with Jeremy Barnhart. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. Also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership and development. In today's show with Jeremy Barnhart, we explore a number of interesting topics like doing the right thing by people, what Apex Fun Run is, and how it started in passion and need, the three core issues Apex Fun Run helps with, and how schools can keep 50 to 70% of the funds raised with Apex Fun Run. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose venture is a social enterprise, and their vision is to catalyze sustainable change in our society, one organization at a time. Learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. I know the owner and founder of School Spirit Vending. He is a personal friend, and he brings hassle-free fundraising to your school. But even better, Matt has written a top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. He's giving it away completely free. Get it at schoolzonepodcast.com. That's the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I am here with Jeremy Barnhart, a co-owner and VP of franchise development at Apex Fun Run. He has a background in accounting, finance, and a variety of other business ventures. Apex Fun Run's passion is to help teachers. 10% of the funds raised go to the teacher, as well as students and schools. The company partners with schools to raise funds for equipment and other campus needs. The concept incorporates a two-week character building and leadership program that culminates with a student run to raise donations for schools. Students ask people they know to pledge money for each completed lap between 26 to 36. Young and enthusiastic, Apex staff members lead the program, and all students get jerseys and prizes for jobs well done. Apex Fun Run raises more money for schools than any other fundraiser, averaging about $23,000. Jeremy and his wife live in Scottsdale, Arizona, with their three sons, who keep him active and busy coaching their basketball, football, and baseball teams. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so you're coaching basketball, football, and baseball. Which one is your favorite to coach?
I believe in the love the one you're with concept. So whatever season I'm in is the one that's my favorite at the time.
Okay, that's great. You know, very safe answer there. I would have picked basketball's my love, but I appreciate that. You know, it's honest, and the one you're with, that's the one you should be loving for sure. That is great. Hey, how would you describe, Jeremy, your leadership style, and how did you develop it?
Well, I would say my leadership style is really sort of a lead by example, as opposed to really a micromanager type. I like to really empower people, really give them a clear vision of what I expect, and then sort of step back and let them do it. Let them develop and build themselves and not intervene unless I need to. If someone sort of shows that they're not able to do what they need to do or is doing something wrong, then obviously I will step in and guide them. But I like empowering people. I find that's has the best success.
And I know you talked about leading by example, you know, and probably encouraging folks and that kind of thing. Do you have any examples or stories of when you actually did that with an employee?
Well, I would say in my previous life, I was a partner in international public accounting firms. And in that arena, in that world, many times your staff are stolen from you on a regular basis. You know, we train them up. They get to see lots of companies, lots of organizations. They know how to run effective businesses. And so clients would snatch those folks up. And many times as a partner in the firm, you know, those employees are your assets, your resources. And many people had the perspective of wanting to, you know, keep a tight grasp on them and sort of keep them in the organization as opposed to losing them. I always believed in having people get to their best and highest potential, and maybe it wasn't with the firm. And so I had many employees over the years that I would coach to potentially take opportunities as opposed to staying with the firm, which was, you know, not always in the firm's best interest. But I believe that if you do the right thing by people and help them get to their best and highest potential, then it'll come back to you in many folds. And so I felt like I built a lot of loyalty with people, giving them very straight, honest answers, and many times surprised them with the fact that I thought they should take a job or take an opportunity, even if it meant leaving the firm, because it was what was best for their career and their family. And so I have thousands of those opportunities with all the offices of the firms I was in, where I believe I help guide people to their best career paths.
Really appreciate that perspective too, Jeremy, because it reminds me of my mentor, Aaron Walker. He has this philosophy of give to give, and you're doing things that in people's best interest. You're not expecting anything in return. You're just putting their needs before yours and trying to, you know, take care of them. And a lot of times, just because of how the cookie crumbles there, it comes back to you and it does bless you in some type of way. And that's probably because that, you know, again, you're taking care of people, you're putting that positivity out there, and you're not being selfish, but it's that give to give mentality, doing what's right in other people's interests instead of your own. I really admire and respect that.
Thank you.
Jeremy, what would you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
I would have to think about that one. Worst leadership mistake. I would say my worst leadership mistake might have been when I had retired from the firm and I started a real estate development company. I had a lot of real estate development clients with the firm for many years, and so I thought I knew enough to be dangerous. And I was, you know, investing in real estate, building spec homes, buying dirt, investing in companies. And I probably got caught up in the excitement of the early to mid 2000s when markets were doing amazing things. And I probably did a disservice to folks in terms of guiding them into investing more heavily in real estate as opposed to diversifying. And I think that I not only did them a disservice, but did myself a disservice, because I lost a lot of money when the real estate market tanked, and really had always preached diversification, but sort of got caught up in the momentum and excitement of it. And unfortunately had others that lost money because of those same decisions. And that one I still struggle with, because even my own parents, I guided them into investment with a company that had never lost any principal. And when the real estate market crashed, that company went bankrupt and they lost money. And I still feel bad about that to this day.
Yeah, it's tough. Jeremy, you know, we're really excited about how, I guess, people organize their days. And as a business owner, you know, in the pre-chat, we talked about, man, life is busy. So how do you prioritize your time and decide on really what's most important to work on? Do you have any routines or systems? Sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah. So I like to start the day. I try to be organized. I try to be a planner, and I'm a list guy. So I try to start every day kind of creating that list of things that I need and or want to accomplish for the day, and then try to prioritize those as to things that really, really are important to accomplish versus things that I would just like to be able to accomplish if I could. Now, granted, as a business owner, following that plan almost never happens, because, you know, you get emails, you get calls, you get texts and things like that that throw you off your course of your day. But I feel like if you don't even start with a plan or even set goals for that day, you're never going to get anything accomplished. And so I'm a big list guy, and I find satisfaction to be able to mark some stuff off my list and to know that I've accomplished something in the course of the day. And of course, there are days where I probably never get to anything on my list because, you know, the phone starts ringing, emails start popping in, and I'm helping my franchisees be successful in their businesses or talking to prospective franchisees around the country. And it's still a great day. It's just I might not have hit what I wanted to.
And do those lists end up like carrying over if things don't get knocked out, or how does that work?
Yep. Every day I start with a list, and some of them are carryovers and some of them are new. And then I try to reprioritize, because something that might have been a priority yesterday, things may have changed and now they're not as much of a priority today.
And do you have a routine or system in terms of your morning?
No, just that I just really try to start the day by creating that list and trying to prioritize what I really want to accomplish that day.
Makes sense. Yeah, so Jeremy, we're here to talk. talk about Apex Fun Run. Really interested in how you got started with it. Tell me the story there.
Yeah, so we started the company really out of a combination of passion and need. On the need side, as you well know, fundraising has been a necessary evil for schools and organizations all over America, whether public or private, they all need fundraising. And because of budget cuts all over the country, there's a higher need now than ever before. As you well know, there are schools eliminating physical education programs, eliminating music programs. There are even schools around the country who don't even go to school 5 days a week because they can't afford to open the door that fifth day, which in my humble opinion is pretty sad and pathetic. Yeah. So there's a huge need. We really were trying to accomplish filling a need because of our wives. My business partner, Scott, is the original founder of the idea. His wife's a first grade teacher, and she had actually come home from school on her first day as a first grade teacher, and she'd spent about $400 or $500 on supplies for her classroom. He is a typical spouse, said, you're getting reimbursed for that, right? And she said no. Unfortunately, the school didn't have the funds. And that's the story of teachers all over America. The average elementary school teacher spends about $600 out of pocket every year on supplies. And so Scott said, well, gosh, what's the school do to help? And she said, well, you know, they do some product-based fundraisers, but they don't really raise much money, and it doesn't usually make its way to help an individual teacher. And so he was really looking for a solution to help his wife. Now, at the same time, my wife was a PTO mom. She had been a marketing director in her past with large accounting and law firms, but then became a stay-at-home mom once we started having our three boys. And they had asked her to be the PTO fundraising chair at our kids' school because they saw that I was on lots of boards in town and she was well-connected as well. And she said, you know, I'm only willing to do it if I can do fundraising my way. And they said, well, what's that mean? She said, well, I'm not going to sell any more unhealthy products. Nobody needs any more candy bars or cookies or any of that unhealthy stuff. It basically just perpetuates the issues of childhood obesity and youth diabetes in our country. And so they said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I want to do something that's fitness focused. The oldest of our three boys has always been a big runner. He's varsity track, varsity cross country, and has done a lot of triathlons. And so back then she said, I want to try to do a triathlon as a fundraiser. But she soon realized that it was going to be difficult to find locations. It was going to require some permitting, would take a lot of volunteers, which as you well know, are hard to come by. And it was going to be difficult to monetize and turn into a profitable fundraiser. So we were really looking for a solution for my wife and kids, and Scott was looking for one for his wife, and Apex Fun Run was created. We'd had deep-rooted passions for education. My father taught outside of Chicago for 43 years, so education was always on the forefront. Scott's dad was a principal in Seattle, Washington, and so we've always had that passion for teachers and education. And then that focus on fitness as well. I played college sports. My wife did. Scott did. And as you mentioned, I coached my three boys in sports. So we really wanted something that connected with our passions that made an impact on the community. And so as we looked at the fundraising industry across the country, we realized there was a huge gap. There was a huge need. And there were three core things we wanted to be able to address in the industry. The first was the fact that we wanted to be able to help teachers. And as you mentioned in the intro, Apex Fun Run is unique in the fact that with our program, teachers get to keep 10% of what's raised in their classrooms. So they actually have some skin in the game and have a direct benefit from our fundraiser, unlike any other in the country. The second thing we wanted was a program that actually benefited students. With product-based fundraisers, it just turns them into little door-to-door salespeople, which is unfortunately not always safe, or more likely than not, mom and dad are taking the order forms to the office and pawning it off on their coworkers, but either way, no benefit to the kids. And so with our program, we've created a system where we teach kids leadership skills and fitness awareness, things that are hopefully benefiting them for a lifetime. And as a franchisor, we actually recreate ourselves every year with a new theme, new curriculum, new prizes, so it's always brand new fundraisers, and schools and organizations love doing it year after year after year, and it creates an annuity income for our franchisees. The third thing we wanted to impact in the industry was the money side of things. Product-based fundraisers don't raise much money for schools and organizations. They typically only get about 20 to 30% of the proceeds, even though they do all the work. And so we have created five program offerings for our franchisees that allow them to serve elementary schools, middle schools, high school teams, local community organizations like churches or children's hospitals. And with our five programs, schools and organizations get to keep anywhere from 52 to 77% of the money. It's more than any other fundraiser in America, and it makes it an easy decision for schools to sign up and organize organizations to utilize us. And so we really created the business out of a need, out of a passion, and we've grown it to 85 franchises in 24 states. And we raise about $2 million every 2 weeks for schools and organizations all over America.
There is so much to unpack there, but you know, what's bringing a smile to my face, and we're just doing Skype audio, but you would see it, is the fact that schools can keep so much of that fund that's raised. And, you know, you're talking about, my gosh, you know, a spouse spending, you know, $400-$500. I think you said the average elementary teacher spends $600 and is not getting reimbursed. And here you are, like you said, coming in and fulfilling a need, and not only taking care of that aspect, but doing it in a healthy way, and a way also that builds healthy lifestyles and builds character as well.
Yeah, it's great. We love what we do. We're very passionate about it, and so are our franchisees all over America.
So I'm new to this with Apex Fun Run. So walk me through, like, I'm a teacher and or a principal, okay, and I want to get involved. How does that work, and what all goes into it in terms of planning the event?
So you can easily just reach out to us through apexfunrun.com. We have a /BLBS for Better Leaders, Better Schools. So your listeners can go directly there and they can submit a form looking for information on whether they want to be a franchisee or if they want us to help them raise money at their school or for their soccer team or for their local church. And we'll reach out. And if we have a local area director there, we'll connect them with them to come out and present what our offerings are and how we can help them. If we don't, we'll help them from a home office perspective. But we really do all the work. It's easy. I mean, there's really no reason a school or an organization wouldn't utilize us because we've got all the best practices to come in and provide a hassle-free fundraiser that is going to be just amazing. As you mentioned in the intro, our average school we serve across America nets $23,000 from our fundraiser, which is double or triple what they've ever raised before, while also having their kids learn our leadership and fitness lessons, getting race jerseys, daily bracelets with the lessons on them, prizes for their pledges they bring in. It's unbelievable the amount of things that we do and provide for those schools and organizations while also netting them so much money. Our technology is really a lot of our driver in addition to our amazing people. Our website is a really sophisticated site so that every participant, regardless of the fundraiser, whether it's elementary, middle, high school team, or local organization, every participant gets a unique access code to log into our site with. When they log in, they can then create their own page on our site, customizing it with their own pictures, their own videos, and they can then utilize our Share Wizard technology. With that technology from that site they created, they can then send out emails, text messages, Facebook and Twitter messages to their friends and family all over the world with a link that they can click on that will take them into that individual person's pledge page, shows them what they're raising money for, what their measurable is. They can put a pledge in, pay with their credit card, and it's simple and easy. And so as you can imagine, you know, we're raising money from previously untapped sources. You know, if you were still in Chicago where you grew up, but grandma and grandpa retired in Florida, they're not buying cookie dough. They're not going to a fall festival or another rubber chicken auction dinner to buy another autographed, you know, Michael Jordan ball or jersey. But they'll pledge their grandson or granddaughter for a great, healthy, activity-based fundraiser. And so we create, you know, jogathons for elementary schools. We do free throw-a-thons for basketball teams, goal-a-thons for soccer teams, push-up-a-thons for maybe a wrestling team. We've got random act of kindness-a-thons. We've had some churches, some sororities do those. And with our technology, they're able to raise double or triple what they've ever seen before.
That's really interesting. So the technology is a engine there that really fuels, I guess, raising that money and tapping into areas that people haven't explored before.
That's right.
That's great stuff. So apexfunrun.com/BLBS. And listeners, you know that it is going to be linked up for you in the show notes. So if you're interested and you're a building leader, a teacher, a parent, and you want to bring this organization in and raise that $23,000 average, you can get involved there. Or if you want to explore from the franchisee side and get involved with Apex Fun Run, you can put in your contact info and they'll reach out as well. I'm wondering, can you explain from the franchisee perspective a little bit of what people could expect?
Yeah. So the beauty of franchising is the fact that you're buying into a proven system, a proven model with support, training, and a lot of interaction. As you well know, when people start their own businesses and come up with their own idea, most of the time they fail because they're sort of out there on their own. But by becoming a franchisee with our system, you're going to get access to all of our systems. You're going to get the training. You're going to get the manuals, the videos, lots of support and interaction that increases your probability of success. We have been there, done that all over America, and we can train people on how to best serve their communities with all of our program offerings so that they can really focus on customer service and support. And our technologies and our systems have daily checklists to really allow them to have the best practices to give the best service to their organizations and schools. And we're there for them. You know, it's a win-win, lose-lose. If our franchisees are doing well, so are we. If they're not, we're not. And so we do a lot of interactive training, weekly calls and interactions with best practices that allow them to really have a great successful business. Now, at the end of the day, it's about their efforts. We can't do it for them, but we're going to provide them all the training tools and support to be able to provide this amazing program to all of their organizations in their community.
You know, and it piqued my interest when you were talking about the themes and prizes and how they change every year, and that keeps things fresh. What's been the theme and some of the prizes for 2017?
Great question. One of the themes that I love, and we've had them every different year, was one year it was Apex Power Up. We were teaching kids to be powered up leaders, and our leadership and fitness lessons were based on the acronym of the word power. So on the P day, we taught students that good leaders have a positive attitude. On the O day, we taught them that good leaders put others first. On the W day, we taught them that good leaders must work well with others. On the E day, we taught them that good leaders must exercise, both their mind and body. And on the R day, we taught them that good leaders have responsibilities that they take care of. And once they learned all those traits and skills, they then became powered up leaders. And so every year, it's always great character and fitness-based lessons. Last year, actually this school year that's just ending right now, we've still got schools going on all over America. This year, we were teaching them to be apex legends and to become legendary and leave their mark on the world. And our lessons were for the L day was to learn, that you should always be learning throughout your entire life. The E day was to engage, put down your technology, get your face out from under that phone or that Xbox controller and engage in conversations. The G day was to give of your time, your talents, your treasures to make the world around you a better place. The next E day was to empower, find people's strengths, build them up. Don't bully people, build them up and empower them. On the end day, we taught them to never give up. Things are going to get tough, but you should never quit. And then on the D day, we said, now you just go out and do it. You take all those great lessons and you take them and you become better leaders in your homes, your schools, and your communities. And so every year, as I mentioned, are just great lessons that parents love, teachers love, and students retain. I mean, we've been serving schools for 6 years in a row that raise record-breaking dollars, but they also learn all of our lessons. And we get letters and emails from parents that would bring you and your listeners to tears over the positive impact that we've had on these children's lives because we're letting them know that they matter, that they have value, that they can do anything they set their mind to, and that even at their age, they can be leaders in their homes and schools and communities. And it's a great, great fun business.
Yeah, I love that, the powered up leaders and the legendary leaders as well. And I saw that firsthand. You know, longtime listeners of the show know that I actually led a high school marathon team for 3 years. And we had sophomore, junior, seniors run the Chicago Marathon and raise some money for clean water. But I loved, again, that Apex Fun Run is connected to that fitness piece. And unlike what I did, the school gets to keep that money. And that's such a need for the U.S. schools. And so, you are definitely filling the gap there. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, a social enterprise with a vision to catalyze sustainable change in our society, one organization at a time. I know one of their leaders, AJ DeLeon, and I worked with him in Chicago. He is a data whiz, and if you're looking for that kind of help, I strongly encourage you to reach out at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies handpicked from the best podcasts. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. While we're talking about powered up leaders and legendary leaders, you're talking about, you know, that it gets taught, right? These character skills to the kids. I'm just curious, who does the teaching?
So each of our franchisees will hire a team of young athletes that will go into the schools. They're typically 21 to 30-year-old recent college graduates who wanted to be teachers, coaches, fitness instructors, and they have a passion for youth and leadership, and they're really good, positive role models. And so we train them when they hire them on how to do our entire program, how to present the lessons. We train them on how to present to a kindergartner or a pre-K student versus a middle schooler where you've got to be a little bit different and everything in between. And when they go into a school, the typical school that we serve on average has around 660 students. And if they've got class sizes of, you know, 25 to 30, you're looking at, you know, potentially, you know, 30 plus classes in that school. And each of those 3 athletes is assigned 10 to 15 classes that are their class. They're going to go back every day. They're developing relationships with those teachers and those students. And they're going in and they're presenting those lessons. They're only in the classrooms for about 8 to 10 minutes. So it's a short brain break, but it provides a lot of discipline as well. As you know, being a teacher, most elementary school teachers are female. So they don't necessarily see a lot of guys in elementary schools. And so when we bring in our young, high energy, positively motivated young athletes, many of them are guys, it changes the whole dynamic. Because as a parent or a teacher, if you've got the same 25 kids in your classroom, eventually the kids start to zone you out, just like your kids do as a parent. And all they start to hear is wah, 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 like Charlie Brown. Well, when we bring in our athletes, we build the teacher up. We encourage the students to support them. And we build them up to say, listen, your teacher is an amazing leader to you, and they have dedicated themselves to teaching you and making you a better person, and you've got to help them. And so teachers and administrators love what we do, because when we're on campus all over the country, they tell us that they have less disciplinary actions than normal, and they have higher attendance than normal because the kids want to see the Apex team. So the athletes love their jobs. They love what they do. They know they've made a positive impact every day from students all over the country. And a typical team around the country will serve about 10,000 students a school year. So they're making an amazing impact in their communities.
So, Jeremy, you've worked with a ton of schools at this point with Apex Fun Run. And I'm curious, are there some leadership skills or things that you've seen principals do within their schools that have really impressed you and have helped you understand, I guess, what it takes to lead a great school?
I think it really comes down to attitude. I think attitude drives a lot of success and failure. And those schools that we've seen the most successes, we have seen principals and leaders in schools who have amazing attitudes. And the reality is we control our attitude. That was one of our lessons a couple of years ago was attitude check. The reality is that every day when you wake up, you control your attitude. You might roll up on the wrong side of the bed, but you have the opportunity to find the positive and make it a great day. And those best principals are people who have a great positive attitude and a positive energy, because it really then spreads throughout the whole campus. It's a top-down approach. And those that make everything positive and have a great energy are much better than those that are maybe a little more negative or a little bit more frustrated or downtrodden. You know, you control your attitude. And when people see the leader always positive, always energetic, always happy, it really makes for a much better campus. And the teachers feel better about what they're doing. And then the students feel better about what they're doing. So I believe it's about attitude and energy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, the listeners know that the last quote of the show is all about perception and your attitude, how you view what's in front of you. I'm curious when you're throwing a curveball and you could definitely get stuck in some stinking thinking, how do you adjust your attitude so that you stay positive and effective?
For me, I have to sort of step back away from the business. It's easy to get caught in the minutia. And I think all of us have that. You can have a horrible thing happen and you get caught up in the details. But for our business, I'm able to step back. And if I look at the amazing things that we do around the country and I look at the number of leaders we've built, I mean, we've served over 1 million students with Apex Fun Run, and we've raised $30 million for schools and organizations all over the country. If I step back and look at that, that sort of grounds me to the fact that, yeah, maybe I'm having a hard day and maybe I didn't have a conversation that was that great or that fun. But the reality is, we are blessed to have a business that is making such a positive impact. Now, we actually wrote a little bit of a book last year. We took some of those APEC stories that we received from parents and teachers and students all over America and pulled it together and created a book for our franchisees. We sent it to them because there are days where you're going to encounter challenges. It's not all roses and rainbows. But by looking at that book and reminding ourselves of the amazing things we're doing and helping kids all over the country and helping teachers and administrators and parents, it can't help but put a smile on your face and make things better.
Yeah, it's neat because, you know, a lot of times we're talking about building our cultures within our schools. And I think what you just demonstrated is an incredible leadership skill that you have. And you are collecting stories, right, of success and then celebrating that. And you chose to distribute it then through a book. And that makes sense because, you know, APEC Fund runs across the nation. But for school leaders, right, they might collect those stories, maybe make videos on YouTube or whatever. But you just want to remind people this hard work that you put in every single day, it matters, and you're having a big impact.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, especially the athletes that serve schools around the country, I say, if you even positively impact one student at a school, you've done a lot more than most people have ever done. And so you have to really step back and know that you may not even know who that student was. I mean, we've got team members around the country who have stories of students that they've sort of taken under their wing and really built into leaders and built up their self-esteem. And then later on, they find out that the student was maybe a foster child that had never really had a stable home, maybe never had a positive male role model, and that the kind words that they gave to them and the encouragement that they did might have changed their entire life course. And so I feel like if you can make a positive impact on just one person a day, you're making the world a better place.
Jeremy, what would be one class you think we should add to our schools that's not currently taught that you know of?
And what level are you talking, like at an elementary school level?
You can answer that however you want.
Well, I will tell you one of the things that I see lacking that we're trying to really fill the void in is really leadership and also common courtesies. I find that we are getting caught up these days in teaching to a test many times. You know, a lot of states have standardized testing. Obviously, you recognize this being in Texas. Texas has standardized testing that takes weeks and weeks and weeks out of every school year. And the teachers are focused on teaching to that test. And they have so much pressure to get the right grades on those tests that they miss the boat on some things. I mean, I feel like in today's day and age, so many children are not receiving the positive influences that they need. Because parents are busy. Most homes have two working parents that are driving the bus, trying to pay the bills, and they don't get to spend a lot of time with the kids. And so schools have to fill that void to really be that positive influence. And I feel like we could do a better job of building kids up to know that they can be leaders, but also common courtesies, opening door for people, sliding out chairs, you know, saying thank you, being appreciative, you know, basic things that I find we're lacking in today's society. I'm amazed at the amount of people that I will reach out to and put a call to or an email to that don't even have the courtesy to respond. I mean, when did life get so busy that we can't have just sort of common courtesies and just be nice to one another? Just say something nice, smile at someone and make their day instead of being so short. And I feel like the earlier we can entrench that into kids' minds to say, listen, be positive, be a leader, encourage others, you know, look to build people up instead of all these horrible bullying and all the things we've got going on in our world. I think the better we would be. And unfortunately, I think schools have had to cut a lot of that out.
How do you want to be remembered as a leader, Jeremy?
I think someone who not only talked the talk, but walked the walk. I want people to recognize that I give everything I've got for everyone around me, and that I hope that I've made their lives better and helped make the world a better place. You know, if we leave that legacy and legend of the fact that we did our best, we tried to lead by example, we tried to do the right thing even when nobody's watching, that's the best thing you can do, is just be a good person.
In terms of APEC Fund Run in this past year, what would be the thing that you are most proud of for accomplishing or attempting?
Well, this year is when we served our 1 millionth student. And as part of that, we randomly selected a student from a school that we were serving all over America, and we actually gave them a college scholarship money to sort of show them that we, you know, not only try to teach leadership, but we lead by example. We also, as part of our give back program every year for students who receive, get to $10 per lap pledged for an event, we make a donation to a local charity. And this year alone, we donated nearly 1 million meals to local food banks all over America. And that that feels pretty good.
Yeah, it should. You guys are doing amazing work. Jeremy, what do you do for fun?
I'm a sports fanatic. So I played sports in college. I still coach sports. I try to play. The body's fallen apart. I've taken a few too many hits. But I love sports. So at this point, I try to get out and play tennis. I had to give up basketball. You mentioned that was your passion sport. I love basketball, but it got to the point that it just hurt too much. And so it kind of took the fun out of it. And so I love to get out and have a great tennis match. I love to play a basketball game in the driveway with the boys. I love sports. And that's really sort of my competitive outlet, as well as is a way to have a ton of fun.
And let's do a little prediction fun here. This is we're recording in June. It's the first night of the NBA finals, and this is getting released actually in September. So let's see, Jeremy, if your predictions are true. I'll predict as well, so I'll also risk. But we got the Warriors and the Cavs. Who's gonna win, and in how many games?
I honestly believe that the Warriors are going to kind of thump the Cavs. I think by bringing Kevin Durant in, they've created just a monster team. And I actually think they're going to take down Cleveland in five games.
I'll do the Warriors in six.
There you go. We'll see what happens.
We will see. Yeah, it's going to be a good series. If you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Automatically good at something. Well, I'll tell you, one of my biggest weaknesses is I am very impatient. I want things done immediately. I'm competitive, so I want to be good at things immediately. And so I would say if there was a way for me to be a much more chill, patient person, that would probably be better for my blood pressure.
Gotcha. Well, hey, Jeremy, I'm proud of you. This is the last question. You've made it. You did it. What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do that for just one day?
I would say make it a great day.
Love it.
Everybody needs to wake up and know that today's a new day and you can make it a great day.
Jeremy, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, you can reach out to me through apexfunrun.com, again, /BLBS for your Better Leaders, Better Schools listeners. And I would say go out there and find your dream and go after your dream. Life is short. You don't want to have regrets, and really step back and assess what it is that makes you happy. Don't keep doing the same thing day in and day out just because it's easy. Try to figure out what will make you happy and it will change the world.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Jeremy. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Jeremy in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Jeremy, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show. And feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across? Links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well. If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.